Today we've got John Hischer here, a licensed clinical social worker of TAIA Counseling, here to talk about PTSD. Welcome, John.
All right. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I thought this would be an important topic to discuss and to let folks know about, because it is a post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, is something that I see a lot of working in the mental health field. And so I wanted to go over today just what PTSD is, some statistics around it, some symptoms to look for if you're experiencing PTSD, or if a loved one or community member you know may be. So some symptoms to look for, some treatment options, and then some resources out there for folks who are experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder. But the first thing I always like to tell folks around post-traumatic stress disorder is that it's a response by a normal person to an abnormal situation. Right. So someone who's experienced a traumatic event, and that's something that's threatened your life or threatened somebody you love's life, or just make you feel helpless or your safety was in danger. So a response from a normal person to a situation that's beyond like your normal stressors. Right. The other thing I like to let folks know is like it's a biological phenomenon as well as a psychological phenomenon. There's a lot going on in the brain after someone experiences trauma. And the best way to kind of describe that is for folks, and folks who are listening at home can do this too, they can put their thumb in their palm of their hand and then close it. And that's a good representation of the brain. And the knuckles there, that's the prefrontal cortex. That's our problem-solving part of our brain. Also, it helps us to regulate emotions. So it does a lot, right? And then the hippocampus is the bottom of our hand, which is our memory. And then the thumb is our amygdala, which is our fight, flight, freeze, or appease part of our brain. And with post-traumatic stress disorder, it's an overactivation of the amygdala, right? The amygdala takes control of the brain. So you can see how fight, flight, freeze, or appease part of things would help you stay safe, right? If you're in a trauma, but if you're not in actual danger at the moment, it can cause a lot of problems. And so with post-traumatic stress disorder, it's an overactivation of the amygdala and underactivation of the prefrontal cortex and the hippocampus. So that's a lot of things like to let folks know when they first get diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, because there's a lot going on there in the brain that we can look at. And some statistics around post-traumatic stress disorder. So some national statistics. It's good to know. So 6% of every American, or 6% of Americans, experience post-traumatic stress disorder. And so the populations I've worked with in the past kind of fluctuated. And when I worked in Florida, I worked with the VA. And so a lot of the folks with post-traumatic stress disorder I worked with were military folks. Mm-hmm. So a lot of males who served in combat in the Middle East conflicts. And then when I moved to here at Skagway 15 years ago, I worked mainly with female folks who had post-traumatic stress disorder. And what, you know, some of the misconceptions of post-traumatic stress disorder is that it was largely a male kind of experience.
Right.
Right. And it was mostly a combat experience. But what they're learning is females experience post-traumatic stress disorder more than males. Because if you think about females experience domestic violence, intimate partner violence, sexual assault at a far greater rate than men go to combat.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and the leading cause of PTSD actually is sexual violence mm-hmm. and intimate partner violence. And so that's what I always kind of, the folks I worked with who are in the military have the same symptoms as the folks I've worked with here who've been in the more intimate partner violence sort of traumas or sexual abuse or sexual trauma. And that's something that, you know, unfortunately happens a lot here in Alaska. And
absolutely.
And you think of some of the statistics around Alaska, is one study showed that 59% of all women in Alaska have experienced intimate partner violence or sexual violence or both in their lifetime.
59%.
And then the sexual assault rate in Alaska is 2.5 times higher than the national average. Right. So you can see how if those things are connected to post-traumatic stress disorder, how many females or women in Alaska may be experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder. So it's something, unfortunately, I've seen a lot here in Skagway, folks experiencing that. So that's just some things to think about. And in terms of just symptoms to see, so some common symptoms of PTSD, and this is, again, something to look for with folks you may be worried about or if you've experienced yourself. And these are symptoms that can happen after a traumatic event, but it takes like 1 month of experiencing these symptoms to qualify as post-traumatic stress disorder diagnostically, right? But some of the symptoms are intrusive or upsetting memories of the event, so thoughts that just will not get out of your brain. Right? Flashbacks. And so flashbacks are like memories, but more vivid type memories, okay. More intrusive. Nightmares. So nightmares of the traumatic event or things surrounding it. Intense distress reminded of the trauma. Physical reactions. And that could be, just stomach aches, migraines, just even like chronic pain. A lot of folks I work with who experience chronic pain have had some very traumatic background. And so that plays a part into it. Heart palpitations, that's another physical reaction. They generally avoid activities or places that remind them of the trauma. Substance abuse is a big one with folks with trauma. They're trying to find anything to numb out or to slow the amygdala down, slow that part of their brain down. So substance use is sometimes prevalent. Depression, hopelessness, feeling alone, and inability to remember important aspects of the trauma. And, the brain wants to protect us sometimes, and it will blank out certain things about the trauma. Outbursts of anger, again, that fight maybe response is there. So when they're triggered, they may just want to feel very aggressive or just be really irritable. Difficulty concentrating, that may be part of the underactivation of the prefrontal cortex. Hypervigilance, I've worked with folks who they know how many steps it is out of every room they go into, right? They're just always focused on safety. They'll never sit with their back behind like a door, sort of situation. They're just always focused on safety. Feeling jumpy or easily startled. So if you call up somebody and you tap them on the shoulder and they're kind of easily startled, that could be a sign. Feelings of guilt or shame or self-blame. One of the many terrible things about folks going through trauma is sometimes they really blame themselves. Some of the sadder things I've kind of run into is folks who maybe have been abused, have trauma from when they were children, and they still think that they should have been able to control it, right? They should have been able to, keep themselves safe when they were maybe 10 or 11 years old, and that, and that's just not the case. Or there's the military folks I've worked with said they could have done more to save their friend or their buddy, just all sorts of things, and kind of come there in guilt and shame. And then finally, kind of suicidal thoughts. Sometimes the psychological distress is just so painful that they feel that ending their life is something that they need to do.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Heavy.
But there's a lot of treatments available there for folks experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder. And what I do as a clinical social worker is, teach people about trauma and its effects on them, right? And to hopefully take away some of the guilt or shame of things they're experiencing, right, is kind of teach them about what it does. Maybe teach them relaxation and anger control exercises when they are triggered. Identifying some thoughts around guilt or shame and how to restructure those. They call it cognitive restructuring, mm-hmm. right? So cognitive behavioral therapy sort of skills on how to look at things differently. And one of the main kind of questions I always ask folks is like, well, what would you tell someone you love if they're having the same thought about themselves in the same situation? And we're usually kinder and more rational with other people than we are with ourselves.
Exactly. Always.
Right. So really kind of working on those type of skills and changing our way we react to triggers with that. And then something that I'm trained in, and another therapist in town at the clinic, Kira, she's also trained in this, is EMDR, is eye movement desensitization reprocessing. And that's just another technique to these bilateral stimulation of the brain to bring up maybe repressed feelings, repressed trauma, and have folks be able to explore those things and hopefully do some cognitive restructuring around that. So that's another option. Seeing a psychiatrist is always sometimes a good idea to have medication management, to have that space to work on these things sometimes, to control some of the anxiety and anger and depression. Sometimes that can be a healthy thing to seek out some medication management issues. So those are just some techniques that we use to help people get treated for post-traumatic stress disorder. And sometimes there's substance use issues that we have to also kind of look into.
And what would you say to folks who maybe recognize these symptoms and behaviors in themselves but don't quite know how to take the leap to get the treatment they need?
Yeah, do some research. You know, if you're not ready to contact somebody, maybe do some research online, kind of some reputable places, and start looking at those things. And this is part of the resources I'm going to talk about, but you can also call 988, mm-hmm. right? There's master's level therapists 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're stationed out of like Fairbanks, I think,
okay.
in Alaska. And so you can call those folks and you can even be anonymous and just ask a lot of questions, mm. right? For free. And they actually have a veterans component to that too. So you can test that. They have different languages that the folks speak. And so if you're just curious and you don't feel like reaching out to somebody locally, that'd be a good place to start with that. Some other resources, and I have my list here. So, of course, they can call me. I'm at Taya Counseling Services, and that's 907-983-2459. The Dahl Memorial Clinic, that's another place locally here, and that's 907-983-2255. And then at Search in Haines, mm-hmm. They have a lot of good folks over there, and that's 907-766-6313. And then the 988 number, like I said. And the other thing that I've been referring a lot of folks to is there's a lot of other therapists in the state of Alaska doing teletherapy.
Okay.
So, and a good way to kind of see who those folks are is through this web. There's a few different ways, but psychologytoday.com. If you go to that website and you type in your zip code, you will get a list of a lot of therapists. There's, and I did it just today, just to kind of make sure I knew the numbers. And there's like 40 plus therapists out there.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So there's, so if you don't want to see somebody locally, and there's lots of reasons for that, like my kid goes with your kid to school, or, you know, there's all sorts of things, right? You know, why may not want to see somebody locally, but there's a lot of folks in Juneau and Anchorage and Fairbanks and kind of the larger areas that some of them specialize in trauma.
Yeah.
And so you can call them, and after COVID, teletherapy has just skyrocketed.
Absolutely.
Right. And I do it myself as part of my job, is I do a lot of teletherapy through Doctors on Demand. And then also through my private practice, I see folks from different states and in different areas of the state of Alaska. But there's just so many people out there that, that people can reach out for help. And so psychologytoday.com, you go in there, you put in your, zip code or Anchorage zip code or Juneau zip code, and you'll see just a long list of folks and what insurance they take, what they specialize in, yeah. You know, there's a picture of themselves. Some of them people have like little videos of them, you know, there's ways to do it. And there's also, nurse psych practitioners on there for medication management and psychiatrists on there. So there's just different avenues out there to get help. So, you know, hopefully people will reach out if they're experiencing any type of traumatic event or they're experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder from something that's happened in the past. You know, I highly recommend folks to go get help.
Thank you so much, John. Is there anything else that you'd like to share before we wrap up today?
No, that's it. Just, you know, if you're experiencing something, reach out for help. And, you know, that's, you know, we're all here to care for each other. And that's a good thing about Skagway and Haines is everyone looks out for each other. And there's a lot of resources out there. But thank you for having me.
Of course. And just a second reminder, that number is 988, you said?
Right. The emergency number 988.
Yep. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.